Hello, lovely listener. It's me, Caitlin. First and foremost, Tash and I would like to thank you so much for sticking with us. Sorry, it's been a while. We'll get more into that into the episode. What I am here to say is a quick little producer note. This episode's going to sound a little bit different audio quality-wise. We've moved into a new space and we're trying a few new things. So if it sounds a little different, that's why. Stick with us. We're going to be working on it. Thank you again so much. And I am so looking forward to you hearing this episode and hearing your thoughts. And I cannot wait for more to come out. We've got some good things in plan, but I'll leave you to it.
Ding, ding, ding. Oh, you want me to start?
No. I was hot.
Don't.
May.
May!
May.
May.
That's the fifth month of the year, right?
It's gonna be May. Ooh!
Yeah. So that's... Well, maybe we should start with the way that we usually start.
Yes, let's do that.
Which... Oh, God, it's been so long.
Hi, my name's Tash and I'm an alcoholic.
My name's Caitlin and I am not an alcoholic, and this is a podcast exploring mental health, addiction, and all the things that make us question.
Why am I like this?
I couldn't even remember how the theme.
No, look, there's a theme here. Jingle, jingle.
Been Tash in the last
well months. Fuck
5 months.
I think that I have come full circle.
Okay.
I have gone from I've got this,
yeah,
to holy shit, I don't have anything. Actually, I don't know who I am as a person. I don't know why I'm doing recovery. I don't know what I'm doing with the rest of my life. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
And then right back to, I have purpose, I have direction, I know what I'm doing, I'm motivated, I totally forgot I was a bad bitch, and I'm on this.
Yeah.
And now I'm just feeling really competent and confident and excited and motivated for the future.
Nice.
I'm in a good place now.
Yeah, that's good.
How has your journey been? Jenny.
Ooh, nice reference. How's it been? I think the last 5 months have been a bit of a... time. There's been some family stuff that has happened which I've never had to deal with before, so dealing with grief for the first time, which is not fun. And then work just kind of kept going, which was nice, and I think we talked a bit about like survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
So going through that, but like we had the fortunate luck of living in South Australia and things are quote unquote back to normal.
Yeah.
It's
very weird in this little bubble where everything, is, yes, as you say, pretty regular. Like people are still wary, you know, as they should be. And there's lots of sanitizing going around, but
I feel like I apologize to anyone who's listening from Melbourne. I'm so sorry. You can do it. You can get through it. We here in South Australia are here to support you. Yes.
And to our American listeners, all we can do is...
wear a face mask.
Wear a fucking face mask. But all we can do is send our apologies for the situation you're in. Like,
yeah. Wear a face mask. Make sure you're enrolled to vote and go
oh
vote.
Oh, my God. Go vote.
Yeah.
Hopefully a lot of our listeners have voted already.
We'll find out.
The 90 Day Fiancé thing happened.
Okay, wait. We're coming back to that. We're still talking about me.
Sorry, mate. Sorry.
I realised that I hate marketing, which I remembered that I always knew. I always knew that. And then I came back to it.
Oh, yes.
And have decided that next year, I think about 2-3 months ago, I was like, next year I'm going to take more risks. And now things have started... to like there are frameworks in place for me to be able to take those risks.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Which is, it is exciting. It's really nice. And I think it's good for my brain to be like, cool, things are going to change.
Yeah.
Both in a sense of like, change. And now the sense of like, you're prepared for this.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that motivating as well? Knowing that change is coming and your situation isn't as stagnant as it felt.
Grant writing is motivating. That's for sure. And I don't know, there's always just like, it's a mix of like living in 2020 and like living in the moment. And then my brain being
if that
like,
isn't a fucking, yeah, truly.
Yeah. And then my brain being like, but also you have to start thinking about 2021 and like base, hypothetically, depending on like funding, my next 4 months are locked in.
Yeah.
Which is
scary, but like nice in the sense of like, cool. Not a lot of people can say that.
Some reliability.
Yeah.
That's great.
Particularly in this industry.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. 90 Day Fiancé. Now you can
90 Day Fiancé. Well, obviously that happened.
Yes.
I can't remember if that had happened when we talked about our last episode.
I don't think it had.
Well, that happened. And so my Instagram follower count jumped by like 8,000, which is wild. So I've got heaps of new followers, and it's been really, really interesting with such a different demographic to hear about Americans' point of view on drinking and alcoholism and recovery.
Nice.
So I've been having loads of chats with people from all over the world, and what I can garner from that is we're all fucked everywhere and there's no support for anyone anywhere. And so, yeah, these podcasts and sort of social media groups and things really seem to be the core of what has been holding a lot of addicts and people in recovery together.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Zoom meetings, a lot of, Alcoholics Anonymous meetings happening online and things mm-hmm. like that, which I think is good.
It's, yeah.
You know, still finding a way to connect through the darkness.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Grim.
Mm.
So I feel like the first few months of COVID when we were in lockdown.
Yes.
And so how long was South Australia in lockdown? Not that long.
Not even 2 months, I want to say.
Yeah. My housemate has a medical condition, which meant I had to be in lockdown a little bit longer and pretty stringent, which was fine. But it did mean that I realized very quickly how much I get my energy from other people,
mm-hmm.
How much other people's passions and motivation and excitement really drives me, and how much I sort of need to bounce off that.
Yeah.
Sort of suddenly found myself very, very alone, as we all did. And I guess we've talked about this before. One of my biggest hurdles is reaching out. Mm. It's breaking that barrier and actually reaching out to people and saying, help, I'm not having a good time. That was really difficult to do for the first few months, and I really wallowed and I really like sank pretty deep, and there was a lot of stuff going on with my relationship at the time that was very reminiscent of like some of my childhood issues that I went through, and yeah, I was just very, very alone and very, very lonely. And then I think that's when I was like, maybe I should drink something. Like maybe I could do moderation. It seems like the world is ending. If there's ever a time to have a slip up, like it's now, you know, people would forgive me. It would be fine. And started almost frantically trying to find excuses and reasons to start drinking again or to be a bit more reckless because I was bored as well, you know. But in the end, I just persevered and went back to my age old saying of DIY or die.
Mm-hmm.
And I just crafted. Do you need to pause?
No.
Went back into my crafting, my making. I was really fortunate to have my studio. So that was somewhere that I could escape to. But even then, if I wasn't busy 24/7, I was feeling the loneliness, and, you know, when I did reach out to people, I really felt like everyone was sort of saying, yeah, you know, COVID sucks, it's the worst. And I was like, no, yes, that, but also heaps more stuff. And it's like, it's not just that I lost my business. It's not just that I lost my partner. It's not just that I lost my entire like past savings, all my plans, like, it's also the mental health thing. It's also being an addict. It's also being in chronic pain. Like, it's also losing that relationship and moving into others and moving house and like buying a car and all of those stresses that come with being an adult that I've had to very rapidly do over the last few months. It's just a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it's always a lot, but it was just it was an extra lot that I could not carry. And I felt like the people who promised me, all the people who were there, like, you can reach out to me and if you ever need help and and then it was like, hey, I need you, and they were just like, ooh, just not right now, I'm kind of busy, you know. And it, and then of course that just made me be like, okay, well, I'm not gonna reach out again, I'm not gonna ask for help again. And I definitely flip-flopped through that for a few months. And
yeah,
it took me some time to realize that there are some people who just are not reliable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a hard lesson that I have to learn over and over and over and over and over again. I'm very not gullible. What's the word? Just trusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like naive even sometimes. I don't know. I just want to believe the best.
Exactly.
And I'm always fucking wrong.
Oh, that's,
and here we go again.
I feel like we've had this conversation.
We have had this conversation.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've grown through it now.
Yeah.
And while I understand, I think I'm a lot more accepting of it can be both.
Yeah.
So all people who have wronged you can also be brilliant, wonderful, shiny people in other people's lives.
Yeah.
Just because their relationship with you didn't work out, or, you know, this could be like a family relationship or anything, just because you guys might butt heads or not quite get along doesn't mean that that person doesn't have a really fulfilling and wonderful experience with other people. Like, people are both. We don't have good and bad people, I don't think. I think everybody has got a little bit of...
It's all shades of grey.
It's all fucking shades of pink, like, you know? And I think I've accepted that.
Yeah,
and
okay.
It makes things hurt heaps less. Because it's not about me.
Like, yeah.
They don't hate you. They don't... It's not your fault. Like, it's not your, you know, inabilities or faults or things that you see as negatives about yourself. It's their inability to connect with that. Your inability to share correctly. Seeing each other is very difficult. And if that doesn't work, well, then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's actually so fine.
Yeah.
It's quite like cathartic
place
to land, actually. No. Yeah, it is. It is nice.
I had a similar sort of realization during COVID and the pandemic. Well, like during the last few months, which is something that someone posted on Facebook. Where, and it's less about like, it kind of like ties into like people and relationships with people and like letting people down.
Mm-hmm.
Very much something that has helped me is that like we're all juggling bowls, but some of them are plastic and some of them are glass.
Oh.
Yeah. And like, it's okay to drop a plastic bowl every now and then because it's not going to break. But if you're dropping the glass bowls, then you have to reassess.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's
something I've carried with me for the last like month since I saw it on Facebook. And I've just been like, every time I've like come to something, be like, oh, can I, I'm like, is this a plastic bowl? Is it a glass bowl?
Yeah.
And most times it's been a plastic one. And I've been like, I can drop that. That's fine.
Yeah. It's great.
Like I could, like I still apologize and be like, hey, I'm so sorry. Let's reschedule, whatever. But I know that because it's like in the grand scheme of things, it's not this horrible, drastic thing that's going to fuck up my life and the life of someone I've let down.
Yeah.
It's just, this is something that happened. It's okay. We can move on. The world isn't going to end.
Okay. And how do you... do you have any guilt that comes from that, or how do you deal with any guilt that might, because I know for me I feel really guilty a lot, and so I overcommit because I don't want to let people down. Like,
I think I've been learning to move past that and like have that understanding that everyone is busy, and it also helps that everyone knows that I'm busy.
Yes, likewise.
And I think you combat that guilt by being like, I'm not able to today, but here is another time. And
this,
like, you're not completely, like, you're able to pick the ball back up again, essentially.
Yeah.
And there's also a realization that I kind of had earlier in the year, and I remember vividly telling someone about it, is that you can say no to things and that opportunity may still be there in the future. And if it isn't, you were never meant to be working with that person.
Oh, I obviously love that.
Yeah.
That's how I live my life.
Yeah.
I was having a really big chat to my sister about, you know, fate and manifestation, and I'm obviously a huge believer in it.
Yeah.
And I believe that things happen for a reason, and that when opportunities come knocking, you know, they're yours to take. Because I believe that, I see opportunities everywhere. Because I believe that, I see things working for a reason. I take life lessons from things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it can be both.
Yeah.
The same situation can happen to somebody else and they're like, oh, I'm just lucky. And they can have a completely different perspective.
Yes.
My perspective has and always will be manifest that shit.
Yeah.
That's what gets me through, is like the motivating and the dreaming. And I would not believe in it if it hadn't worked for me my entire life. You know, like, I'm constantly manifesting the next thing that I want, and I'm constantly achieving those goals.
Yeah.
And I actually have to, I've gotten really good at this in the last few months, acknowledging that I'm fucking kicking ass.
Yeah.
and not feeling guilty for it.
Yes.
Like, the world is in a fucking meltdown. Like, this is history in the making, right? But at the end of the day, do I want to look back 20 years from now and say, God, when COVID first happened, I, you know, dropped my shit, couldn't sort myself out and really couldn't pick myself back up again. It was just awful. We were all awful. It was all struggle town. Or do I want to say, like, shit was fucked for a few months? You know, I can still have empathy. I can still have awareness. I can still understand what's going on in the world and do my bit without carrying the guilt and the burden and the, like, the activism as well.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, I don't need to be accountable for that. I'm just accountable for me. And I'm really leaning into that.
Yeah.
It's way less stressful. I can promise you it's way less stressful.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So I think we might have said it before, but I think now is a good place to say that this is the final episode.
Yes.
Of season two.
Yes. Finale.
It took a time to get here.
It did. We're sorry.
But there's a couple things that I think would be really interesting for us to do to kind of wrap up the season.
Definitely.
The first is to, so I've got the season two episodes up in front of me. And I think it'd be interesting for us to kind of, like, reminisce on what...
Recap.
Yeah, that episode was and, like, what has changed since then. And then also, and I've told you this before, Tash, to look back at the first episode we ever recorded photo-wise, because there is, like, photos of both of us and how much we think we've changed in that more than a year now, because we actually had a one-year anniversary.
In August.
In August, during... our time.
During the times.
In August. Yeah, the 2nd of August is our 1 year anniversary.
Cute.
That's my dad's birthday.
Aww.
That's really nice. And then, yeah, so, like, go over what happened in season two, talk about the very first moment, and then what the future holds. What
season three looks like.
Yeah.
So we've got plans.
We do.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't just been avoiding each other in this podcast. we've been talking.
And planning.
I made a studio. Like,
we're in a studio. We're in a home studio right now, guys.
Yeah. All right. So we had the season two is coming, which is very dramatic. And I think that was just a, here's what's happening. The first episode of season two was Reckless Optimism, Apocalyptic Romanticism, we're back! Exclamation.
Wow. Point.
Well,
I'm still a reckless optimist.
I think I was the reckless optimist.
I think you were.
Yeah. What? You were the romanticism apocalypse person.
Oh, classic.
Yeah. I'm still an optimist.
I would say I'm more of an optimist than I ever have been.
Wow. That's shocking. Honest, I'm shocked.
Really?
A little bit.
Why?
My brain is like, because sometimes you fall on the narcissistic scale of things.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it's nice and, like, I'm happy for you and your optimism. And I wonder if that is, like, a byproduct of, one, being sober for more than 2 years, and two, just, like, the shit that's happened in the last few months and the fact that you're on the other side of it and stronger and better and all that kind of stuff.
I think it's, like, an accumulation of everything, really, and also, like, psychology and psychiatry and doing the work.
Yeah.
Like, I have been, doing a lot of work on myself over COVID. I've been taking the opportunity to do so, to learn a lot more about myself and obviously why I am like that. And I think I've got answers now. Like, I think I know why I am the way I am. For a lot of the questions that I've asked myself, I think I have answers now, and that feels really nice. And so that makes me feel a lot more optimistic and positive about the future, and things that have been in the past, I feel like I can see with clearer lenses that, I mean, maybe they're a bit rosé coloured right now, but yeah, it all feels pretty good.
Nice.
I think it's as what you said as well. It's the glow of things working out for me right now. I'm on a real up with my life. Just had a new job, looking for a house, like, I've got an income, like, all these exciting things. And yet being fucking sober, I'm literally high on life. Like, I truly am every day. I'm like, what's up, guys? Like, welcome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah. Episode two, How to Survive the Fringe, with our first show guest? Oh, our first, like, not immediately known show guest.
Yes, Laura.
Yeah, Laura Desmond.
Ah, Fabulous.
Survived the Fringe.
The Fringe seems like a distant memory.
Oh, yeah, but also it's coming. Fringe is coming.
I'm not. Yeah.
I can't. I'm doing a Fringe show next year.
Mate, I've been giving quotes of Fringe already. Like, yeah. It's wild.
Yes. Oh, my God. Crazy. Just, Yeah, so Fringe is coming. Will we survive it?
It's going to be very different this year.
I think I'm hoping it's a lot more, like, local and yes. homegrown.
An actual Fringe.
Yeah.
With artists from the Fringe. Yeah, yeah. Great.
I'm excited. The next one is a Sober Sunday, which the title is It's Okay to Feel Called Out by Us.
Ah, yes. So many people. Yeah. But also, we call ourselves out yes. all the time as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is also kind of important.
Mm. I also feel like that's around the time that Remy, on
yes.
Travis Remy, the show, went sober yes. as well.
And is still sober.
Yeah.
Still loving life as a sober person, which mm-hmm. is amazing. I think we've got quite a few. I think that's, you know, if we've learned anything from these first two seasons, it's that you guys have so many stories to share.
Yes.
So many of you reach out to us and tell us these amazing, incredible journeys that you've been on, and we love it.
Mm-hmm,
love,
mm-hmm,
love, love it.
I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. The next one is episode 3. It is proof as to why I shouldn't be allowed to name the episodes. It's because we're burning out. And then the description is, right. Thank you, baby.
Okay.
Okay, well,
what about that? How are you avoiding burnout? Because you're still pretty fucking busy, like, during COVID. Caitlin's laughing with head in her hand.
How do I avoid burnout? Been doing better.
Okay.
I think that plastic glass bowl
metaphor is working.
Has really helped.
That's great.
Also, Pride and Prejudice has, in the radio show that I do, is in a much better place.
Not, wonderful.
It's one of those things where, like, still at the helm of it, but it's a thing of, like, if something drops, there are other people there.
Yeah, it can kind of run itself without you micromanaging everything.
Yes.
Great.
And I think in other aspects of my life, it's because it's on the precipice of change. It's, at the moment, it's, like, kind of rushing to get to a space where it isn't, like, in the red on a stress level.
Yeah.
But at the moment it kind of is, because it's, like, almost the end of the year. It's just that season. We're almost coming into November. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm this is a long-winded way of saying I'm still burning myself out, but I'm still aware of it. And I think I'm better at managing it.
Hmm.
Or delegating? I don't know.
It sounds, like, to be honest, it sounds really similar to where you were at last time. To hear that you're better or feeling more confident, perhaps, at delegating is a good thing.
It'd be interesting. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be interesting to listen back to that episode, which I'll never do because I fucking hate the sound of my voice.
Yes, relatable.
And being like, what did I say that I just then said?
Yeah.
I think the reason I also laughed is because it's Adelaide Film Festival at the moment.
Yes.
And I'm watching
Busy.
Yeah. And for a bit I was like, I avoid burnout by sitting in a dark room for 2 hours. And
no.
I was like, not three movies in a row, Caitlin. That's not sustainable.
So tell us how many movies you're planning on seeing this season.
So first it was 10.
Hmm.
That's
a great amount.
Then I bought
in 2 weeks.
Three more.
Okay.
Yesterday. Well, the day before yesterday.
So we're at 13.
I think we're at 13.
Okay.
I'm gonna count
13 films in 14 days.
One of them's a series of short films. So 10.
Okay.
It's more than 13. Let's find out. Let's go. Okay.
Do you find yourself, when you get into this kind of counting situation, is it almost like you kind of want some more? Like, it's kind of like a game with yourself. Like, oh, how many films can I see?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Definitely during the Fringe.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That's like a challenge to me once you start numbering, you know, and tallying things. It's like, oh.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
12 films, including a series of short films.
Yes.
All over Adelaide.
Is that right? That's right. Yeah. And then it's just kind of like the green is all the stuff I do outside of work.
Christ alive. Caitlin's showing me the calendar and it's a lot.
This is a lot. This was last week.
Stop it.
In the green.
Stop. Where's your rest time? What color is that?
White. Sleeping. More sleeping.
There's not much white in there, guys. I'm heaps better at not burning out.
That's good.
Heaps, heaps, heaps better. I think I was incredibly fortunate to form these amazingly close bonds with quite a handful of new friends, actually, at the beginning of COVID. I think that it actually, you know, while it put some distance between me and some of my closer friends who I used to regularly see, it certainly opened itself up to a whole new form of, you know, communication and dedication of communication with people.
Yeah.
So I was really fortunate to have made some really good friends through that who really, really are there when I call and really are there when I need them and all of that, which is really amazing. And then I guess, so obviously I, you know, split up with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And after that happened, it was just like a weight was lifted and I realized I had been carrying like a lot of other feelings and a lot of other responsibilities. And once I let that go, the rest of the space was mine.
Yeah.
So when I wasn't doing things for myself, I didn't have to be doing things for someone else or thinking about someone else or trying to help someone else. I could just do what I wanted to do. And it's so simple. Like during COVID, I really, you know, and when I had my dark times, I really could not remember what my interests were. And I could not, like, I was in a deep depression and I did not know what brought light to my life, you know. And it's as it always is, once you're sort of over that hill, if you're fortunate, you know, for it to come in waves like that, I was like, oh, I just need some sunlight and to be alone, actually. Yeah. Like, and I just, that's really all, like, I love the ocean.
Yeah.
I love sunlight. I love Pilates. I love seeing my friends. Yeah. I love making things. They're simple, simple, simple pleasures. Like, I do not need much as a person.
Mm.
And once I realized that, it just took a lot of stress off myself as well, because I don't actually have to provide that much for myself either.
Yeah.
I've got all of those things. I have everything I need. I just need to go outside and like pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm doing those things and I'm asking for help and I'm getting help and it's all fucking great.
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Moving on. Second guess, what should we be doing with Ruby Negra? I still think about that.
I still think about that a lot. Should. And it's interesting in this context of COVID times because that plays into the guilt. That's heaps, heaps, heaps of guilt of what should you be doing and what shouldn't you be doing. Like, you know, do you feel like, because I know that you and I, well, you particularly, were still very set in your role at work and not too many changes had happened for you. Did you feel a responsibility that you should just keep going and like you should be able to just act as if COVID's not happening because it's not quote unquote affecting you, like even though of course it is in other ways?
I think less with work and more with external stuff, like external working stuff. Like I should be writing or I should be creating or I should be doing this. And it's hard because in regards to my work, we had that very unique situation of a massive project that no one else was doing at the time because no one else could be doing it at the time. And that took up a lot of time. And it was odd just like seeing him and being like, oh, what are you, like, how are you going? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. We went back into the office weeks ago.
Yeah.
Doing this every week. Like I'm busy. And I think the should kind of came out of like, what should I be posting on Instagram? What should I be writing? What should and shouldn't I be doing outside of that space?
I feel like that a lot about activism. I feel like I've had to put my activism hat down for a little while.
Yeah, okay.
And I feel a lot of should, you should be doing this. You should be talking about that. You should be bringing light to this. You should be talking. And it's difficult because I'm absorbing that information and I'm processing it. But I do not have the spoons to be advocating right now.
Yeah.
And that's, it's tough. Even now, like,
on my brain is feeling like, but what about this?
Yes.
The whole point.
You can't do it all. Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to put this quickly on. Oh, goodbye, poster. It's been nice knowing you.
Spooky.
There's a sober Sunday that says, yep, we're talking about it.
I wonder what that is.
And I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
what was happening at that time.
So it's April. So there was a good two month break. We're really good.
So is that COVID?
Oh, we're talking about COVID.
We're talking about COVID. Yep, we're talking about it. That makes sense.
Let's get up the episode description because I feel like that might help. Da, 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 da. So they're looking up some. Okay. Yeah, I swear to God if it starts playing. Hey, so it's been a while, but we're back. In this Sober Sunday, Tash and Caitlin talk about COVID-19 and the impact it has had on their and everybody's lives.
Oh. If only we knew.
Had a typo in that. Hopefully, this will be the only time we talk about COVID-19.
Oh, babies.
Stay safe at home if you can and listen to your health officials. Link, 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 link.
Wow.
We missed y'all. The legs.
Wow, wow, wow.
Dish nice.
I'm pretty sure I was talking about COVID being a conspiracy.
I think I shut that down.
And you were like, no. And I was like,
No. I'm not doing that. Cool. Let's just move swiftly on. The next one is who's queerer?
Oh, wow.
Which I think is the first time we openly talked about both being queer people.
Well, I mean, have you seen my haircut?
Have you seen mine?
For reference, Caitlin has a completely shaved head. My head is half shaved with what I would describe as a luscious green mushroom on top.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Also, like a bowl cut.
It's a bowl cut, right? I have a bowl cut. Yeah.
I love this, though.
Yeah, me too.
It's so good.
Me too. And I feel like it really animates my face more somehow.
Yeah. Like you can see the bottom of it a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, here's my face rather than here's my hair.
Yeah.
It's
like, and I feel like a cheekbone magazine all the way around, you know? So it's like a fringe all the way around.
That is what it is.
Yeah. So there's a lot of trimming involved. And I have to actually go to a hairdresser now, which I'm not heap stoked about. But also, it's about time I pay the professionals.
Look, I've got clippers in my bathroom. What else do we talk about in that? I think there was something you were saying before about Alcoholics Anonymous moving online in regards to COVID-19. And yesterday, I was looking into how COVID-19 has affected the queer community.
Tell me about that.
Well, so in terms of like safety groups and support networks, like a lot of queer people don't feel safe at home because they like can't come out, they can't be their true authentic selves. Throw COVID into the mix and you cannot leave your home.
Yeah.
There's just like this huge spike in terms of like mental health.
Absolutely.
And all the things associated with that, particularly for the queer community, which was already at a higher rate.
Yes.
So just kind of.
I can imagine that the young queers, baby queers are all struggling quite a lot. We love you.
Yes.
If you're listening, we love you.
And then you look at queer businesses and all this kind of stuff, and it's just like, ooh. And then surgeries being cancelled at the beginning, particularly for like trans and non-binary, so top surgery, like elective, quote unquote elective surgeries, weren't, like, they had all been cancelled. And I think some of them have come back now. There goes the rest of the poster. Have come back now, but there's still that thing of, like, just so many accesses were cut off, particularly in health and, like, mental health. And then you throw being queer and trying to be sober on top of that and your, like, complete networks have been shut off. Like, I cannot imagine how difficult of a time that must be and still is in some cases.
Yeah. It's weird because there's people within the queer sober community who have started drinking again or have picked up recreational drinking again. And it's really hard for me to see because it makes, first of all, I think, that's not fair. I want to go.
Like that poster.
That's that, yeah.
Yeah.
I want out. and then I jump to, oh, do they need help? Like, do I need to reach out to them? Do I need to, have they got a sponsor? Like, is this okay? Mm. Like, I mean, at least they're not drinking in secret, but does that make it okay? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I guess that begs the question, like, what do you do? Like, everyone is entitled to live their fucking life, but if you see someone who you previously knew to be sober and they've now picked up a drink, do you say like, hey, is that all good? Like, are you okay with that? Like, what do you do, you know?
I guess you check in. I guess that's all you can really do.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I just left everyone up to their own devices because I decided it was none of my business.
Yeah.
And I decided, again, like, I've gotten a lot better at putting up my boundaries and sticking to them. And I was like, that's not – because if they are having a bad time, I can't help them right now. Like, so what help am I going to be?
Yeah.
So I had to step away from a lot of that. But I found that after the really deep, dark depression, mm-hmm. and I didn't go back to drinking, it was like another reminder of if you can do that, you can do anything.
Yeah.
And then now it seems silly to want to drink. And yeah. I'm so, for the record, for those counting, I'm now 2 years, 2 months and 19 days sober, which is fucking huge. Never in my fucking life did I see this coming. Like it's going to happen. Like, I'm actually going to be a sober person. Like, yeah. that'll be my,
actually,
like, actually my life.
You are.
Oh my God. Yeah. But
still feels like a dream.
Yeah. Like, that's my identity now.
Mm.
And I fucking love it. And I was telling Caitlin just before, I've been going to parties recently.
Yeah.
I know South Australia, we're lucky enough to do that, to have outdoor gatherings. Very fortunate. We know our privilege. So sorry, Victoria. But I have been at parties, and even with people, you know, doing recreational drugs or getting really drunk and whatever, I've just been there with, you know, my water and my lime and just been like, wow, 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 wow. And like, you just see things with such clarity, and it's actually really good reminders of why I don't drink.
Yeah.
And then everyone feels like such shit in the morning and their house looks like trash and you're like, ha, like, I'm fine. I get to go on with my life.
Yeah.
And I still had a great time. Nice. I still had a great night. You know, I did we talk about Taking Back Saturday yet? In one of our episodes, I went out. I went to a nightclub, and I swear I was having the most fun there.
Yeah.
And I was sober, dancing on my chair, fucking, this is when we still had to sit.
Yes.
So it was a seated event.
Well, you still can't dance.
Look, no one stopped me having a boogie on my chair, and I was going wild, doing lots of head banging, and everyone else was just like sitting and chilling. And I was like, guys, everyone's afraid to look a bit silly, I think, you know? And they're like, oh, I'm too cool. Like, I've had a few drinks. I got to look cool. And I'm like, I've had no drinks, but I know I'm cool and I'm having fun. Like,
I know I'm cool.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Do you know what it is? I think it's that. It's like, like, I know. I feel like I know myself a lot better.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cute. Next one. Body posy what? Which is also an episode I think about quite a lot.
I think about this a lot too. I've been thinking about this a lot recently because I am going to talk about Erica.
Okay.
Erica from 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes.
So when that first started our relationship, we were what I would call frenemies. We'll both admit to that. In the initial filming of the scenes, very, 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 very quickly after that, we became very close, genuine friends.
Yes.
And that relationship has absolutely blossomed and has been, again, one of the core people who have been there for me and vice versa. Erica has had a lot of, I'm not going to speak on her behalf, but she has had a lot of body, you know, issues in the past, as so many of us have. The internet hate that she gets since being famous and since being on that show is unbelievable. Like, the people that come from far and wide to tell her how, like, I can't even repeat them because they're just slurs. Do you know what I mean? But it's like slur after slur after slur after offensive comment, like flooding her DMs, flooding every picture she posts. And it's like, let a girl live.
Yeah.
Like, and it doesn't matter if she's perceived to have gained 2 kilos or lost 2 kilos. It's fucking insanity. Like, and this is what I would describe as a very normal looking average size Australian, you know, like, what is average? Rage. Like, tell me your thoughts. What do you think back about?
I think that posting about that on Instagram was the most engagement and the most open and honest conversations I've ever had with the people who follow me on Instagram. A lot of people that I know. Which was a lot to take on, but almost comforting in the sense of, like, everyone fucking thinks about this.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know everyone. I had...
Everyone in my circle thinks about this.
True. I had cis white simps saying, like, you know, oh, but what about, and then, oh, it's not healthy, like, you know, their hearts, whatever. And I'm like, fuck you. Yeah, and that's something I don't engage with.
Don't have those people.
No.
Yeah, and then it's something that I'm still thinking about constantly. So it's just the way my brain is wired to. But, and I don't think I've ever spoken about this. I dabble in spoken word and slam poetry.
Yes.
As says.
Very good, actually.
My bio. Thank you.
Yes.
I've been working on a new piece that I performed for the first time last week that is about, like, body standards and, like, not feeling comfortable with my body.
Do you want to do it now?
Sure.
Okay. I feel like if you're comfortable,
yeah,
it would be a good experience. Ooh. For our listeners.
Sure.
And, you know, this is what's going on for us.
Let me find it.
So what prompted you to write this?
At the moment I've been struggling to write poetry and spoken word, and I keep, like, my iPhone is, like, full of little lines, little tangents. And in an attempt to try to write four pieces, I will go back and try stitch together things. Mm-hmm. And this first verse, I think I initially wrote it for TikTok because I am trash. And every day I'm like, maybe I'll post on TikTok. Every day I don't. But I wrote it down and then, like, found another bit and then added it to that and then just kind of filled in the blanks.
Sure.
Beyond that. So I guess it's almost like blackout poetry, but with my own words, and I'm just, like, filling in blanks. It doesn't have a title because I don't believe in titles.
Cool.
That's a lie. That's just what I said in person the other day. All right. This is weird.
It's okay. Do you want me to not look at you?
No, it's okay. You can look at me. That's fine. I'm going to have a drink of water first.
Yeah. Prepare.
Thank you. Like the gross mouth noises.
So, like, smiling. Have I told you about this? I ruin so many lives by, listen to the sound of smiles, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Ready?
I work on radio. Oh, actually, smiling noises. Okay.
That's the sound of a smile. Okay, back to it.
I thought you were talking about smiling whilst talking.
I mean, oh, no.
You can tell when someone's smiling and they're not smiling. All right, cool.
Here we go.
Every morning I rub lotion into my skin. Blend in a moisture made of butters and essential oils to make the dry tundra smooth. My hands run over my legs with the slightest bit of pressure, helping the cream sink in, kneading away the tension built up from the night before, lingering over bruises whose origins unknown. And then move to my thighs and my arms, and I wonder, is this a form of self-care? A simple act that shows that I like my body. It is mine, and I want to take care of it. Maybe one day I'll take that self-care into the rest of the day. See, I am uncomfortable in my body. Hate seeing photos of myself, seeing the rolls in my stomach and the thickness of my thighs. Every morning is a constant battle of whether or not I'll be okay with a mirror. If my brain won't trick the rest of me into thinking my clothes don't fit. But when I scroll through Instagram and see people of the same size or a bigger size, I place them on a pedestal and I am in awe of them. Double tap, file away, show love and praise, and show love and praise that for some reason I can't do for myself. I am an amalgamation of flesh, bones, smells, and feelings. This is the vessel in which all of that is carried in. So why don't I treat it as such? I've done some thinking on this matter, trying to figure out why it matters, and I think it has something to do with society. Not just the one that we're in, but the one before that, and the one before that, and probably the one before that. My insecurities were handed down to me from a mother who said weight loss looks good on me, and a father who was so uncomfortable with his size that he got a band inserted inside. Both created a childhood of temporary diets and a want for their children to be thinner, to defy the genetic makeup and not have to ask for a seatbelt extender on an airplane. They handed down their weights, their worries of weight, and it became a weight on my back made heavier by a media that doesn't represent me and stores that don't allow me. It is society that breathes this toxicity, extending beyond our screens and going into the lips of unnecessary comments from strangers. I think at some point we all signed a social contract that is offered without thought, without review. Well, I propose we tear up that social contract and sign a new one. One that breathes acceptance and states that everybody is a good body, that my body is a good body. We can sign it every morning, press it into dips and curves, lather it over unknown bruises, share it with others, let our bodies know that they are good and are okay to change in whatever way that needs to be, because it is mine and I like my body. You see it.
That's really beautiful.
Thank you. I'm not happy with the ending.
I really like it.
Thanks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lots of feelings about that. That's really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
How do you feel when you perform it?
So that's the second time it's ever been spoken to a person.
Wow, thank you.
That's okay. The first time, good, because, like, I got a really great reaction from it. I was with my friend. Who was like, I think that's my favorite of yours. That's the best thing. I think for me, it takes a lot to put those feelings into words and have that be public.
Yeah, because it's a lot. Like, it, you know, it, that's probably the most vulnerable I've heard you.
Ah. Mm.
Ew. That's really, really raw. It's it's a bit of a different kind of depth, I think, for you. I like it.
As a person or as a poet or as both?
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
That vulnerability thing.
Yeah.
How do you, let's just sidetrack, how do you feel that you got, because I know that we have assessed vulnerability. Where do you think you're at?
I feel like I haven't had to be vulnerable with anyone. And I think the moments where I have been vulnerable is through spoken word and through poetry.
Yeah.
And
I think that that's like being vulnerable with yourself. And I think that's where it has to start.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I think for me, I'm very aware of the thoughts and where I stand on things. It's just sharing that. That terrifies me.
That's fair.
I have this one piece, it's all back to poetry now, about how being vulnerable makes me feel super uncomfortable, but wanting to be vulnerable with someone in a way that, like, they'll let me settle into their gums. It's a really, like, visual one.
Yeah.
But it's that whole idea of, like, this makes me feel so uncomfortable, so let me be vulnerable with you and settle into you.
Yeah.
Sounds really nice when I put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't perform it like that. Like, it talks a lot about teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I haven't been in any situation where I've had to be or, like, had the opportunity to be openly vulnerable with someone.
That's fair. I feel like my last vulnerability backfired. Because the person that was asking me to be vulnerable, well, I finally did. And then they neglected me, and it was just a recap of my childhood, and it was like, it just solidified the things that I thought I knew.
Yeah.
And it sort of, it answered all of those niggling voices, and it was like, see, and it like really reaffirmed, it felt at the time to be reaffirming that I wasn't a good person and that I wasn't worthy and that this is why people won't help you and see you are too much and you are too this and you are that. Like, but as we said afterwards, after that had kind of finally ended, it was just like this rush of ownership sort of came back to me. And I realized, and I have been talking to a relationship counselor just about, you know, I was seeing them with my past partner, but, you know, seeing them on my own as well, and just learning about why I make those choices in certain relationships, why I fall into those habits, why so many people, so many strong, independent, courageous people can fall victim to that codependent, people-pleasing relationship. And if you have someone who is like a care sponge and will just absorb and give nothing back, that's when you kind of spiral. And so for me, I found myself in that position again, and I was like, oh no, can't be vulnerable. And as soon as it was over, I was vulnerable with myself, and I felt all my feelings, and I had my first ever sober breakup.
Yeah.
And I had to be vulnerable. Like, I couldn't wash it away with anything. I couldn't drown it in anything. I had to feel it.
Mm.
And I did all of the growing and the healing in about a week that would have previously taken me fucking years. Because I didn't have the, like, drunk reminiscing. I didn't have the, like, drunk calls or, like, you know, messages or, like, pining after photos or, like, I could look at things very objectively and say, like, okay, well, this happened then and this happens now and these are my next steps and, oh, fuck, it's all actually okay. Like, the world doesn't end. Like, remember all those other people you thought you were going to marry? Lol. Like, I'm just that person. Like, I can't help it. I am romantic. Like, I do think I'm going to marry every person that I'm with. Like, I do fantasize about, like, a life with them. And but that's because I see the best in people and I want to, you know?
Yeah.
Reckless optimism. Like, romanticizing apocalypse. Like, it's both.
Yeah.
It's both. It's always both.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting. It's actually really nice leading into the next and final episode was how to date as an alcoholic.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. So I guess what has changed since we recorded that episode is that I am now in like several happy polyamorous relationships that are all going really well. I don't have a key main or whatever kind of thing you want to word that core partner. But I see people from other couples and other couples, and it works so well for me because I get to be accountable for myself. I get to, you know, lift people up and have these fantastic times with other people and these really nice relationships and vulnerabilities and moments. And everybody's different. And I love that. Like, I just love the little bits and bobs and all the different pieces and all the different relationships in my life that make me feel whole.
Yeah.
And interestingly, well, one of my partners in particular is a pretty heavy drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to parties together and we go out together and it's fine. I don't think it would have been a year ago, but now where I'm at now, it's more than fine. Like, I like seeing them have drink and have fun and have a party, and I feel like I can be on the same wavelength and I can match that energy and I'm still having fun, like, and it's still genuine.
Mm.
I just don't have to be drunk for it. And that's just like, it seems just so simple. Like, yeah, I'm just doing it, but just sober.
Yeah.
So it's nice. It's nice. And I'm finding as I'm swiping away, I still won't swipe on people who have booze in their hands in mm-hmm. pictures, like especially multiple pictures, because I'm like, that's
indicative of the
life. Yeah, what else do you do kind of thing. But yeah, if you're like drinking a beer on the top of a mountain, then I'm all in, like adventure, you know?
Yeah.
How's your dating life going?
Oh, the exact same that it was that many months, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Fuck my life. That means I'm too busy. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm too busy.
And that's why I think poly life suits me so well. Like, if I had a partner that I had to communicate with all day, every day, like, it would just fucking fall apart. Like, I don't have the time. Like,
yeah.
It's nice though.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm kind of dating myself. Like, I think I'm my primary partner. Oh my God.
Epiphany happening right here.
Yeah. Well, I'm cute and I love it. Yeah. So I'm really feeling it.
Yeah. I'm always my primary manner. Yeah, date yourself. That's season two.
That's season two.
Whatever the hell this... Maybe that's the title of this episode.
Whatever the hell this season was.
Episode 8. That's season two.
That's it.
Wait, really? It was the fucking journey.
Yeah.
Went all over the place.
Yeah, we really did.
Yeah.
Let's like rewind all the way back to fucking... August 2019.
So we were in a very different space that we are now in.
And Ryan's not here.
No Ryan.
We're all set up in Caitlin's new studio, so we will now be working from this cute little space.
Do we want to start with you or me?
You.
Okay. This is her or me?
I mean... Caitlin's got heaps more hair. Well, I say heaps
in
this photo. It's probably like 2 inches. But
it's a lot of hair there.
It looks like a lot of hair. It's like this pastel pink baby washout.
I miss the pink. I was thinking about the pink the other day and I was like, oh, I like that color.
You're wearing the exact same t-shirt. Right, wait, let me take a photo of you with that photo. Hilarious.
How's my pink is closed?
Let me try and... Oh, hold on. I'm trying to focus on that. Adorable.
Nice.
I
have different glasses. Oh, yep. I'm wearing a skirt in this one. That's nice. It was August. What? Sure.
It's a light fall.
Ah. Actually, I feel like we were sitting on this episode for a little while and then we released it.
Yeah, that's right, actually. Because I had to announce my sobriety, I think.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't announced it.
Lol. Yeah. Well, how do I feel about this person that I am staring at? This version of me. I think it's very funny that I am wearing the same t-shirt. I did put on the shirt today being like, I'm pretty sure I was wearing the wine version. This is the same one.
I love it.
True versions of this t-shirt.
This is not art.
Yeah.
I think it's very apt.
Which started a very, very interesting conversation with the person I was buying lunch off today.
Oh.
And they were like, this is not art. I'm like, yeah, it's a t-shirt from an arts festival. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yep. but it's not. I'm like, yeah, I know. She looks tired.
Did you feel tired?
Yeah, I always feel tired. Yeah. I don't know. I have no very strong feelings. I think it's nice in the sense of, like, this is the person who was like, we're doing the thing.
You look really excited.
Yeah.
Keen and excited.
We've done the thing. We're doing the thing currently. Yeah. We're 2 seasons into the thing. All right, you ready for yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. My hair, I got heaps of hair too.
Yeah.
Like, it's like long and it's yellow and it's just in a bun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a crazy jumper, my little notebook. Yeah. And I'm laughing to myself with my hand over my face because I can't fucking believe it. That first episode was nerve-wracking.
Like, yeah.
That was really emotional. I feel like, because we recorded the first episode a few times, didn't we? We recorded, I think, something in my studio and, like.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we recorded a few different versions. Yeah. And so by the time we got to this, it all felt very serious and very professional. And we were in a proper sound studio.
Yeah,
I just remember feeling really emotional and really feeling really brave afterwards.
Yeah. I think that was also due, in fact, to the person who was seeing the recording. It came in afterwards and was like,
oh, yes.
Thank you for sharing your story. You are so brave. Yeah.
And I think that's when I like realized what the fuck we were doing. Yeah. And I was like, oh, other people are going to hear this.
Yes.
Which is...
Yeah.
Still a thing. And it's still a thing when people, I'm sure you still have the same experience, where people come up and say, oh, I've listened to your podcast. And you go, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I know it's not as, hopefully not as mortifying for you, but I'm like, oh, cool, cool. You know, all about my traumas. That's great.
I get it occasionally. People are like, oh, yeah, I mean, you talked about this. I'm like, did I?
Yeah, because I have no idea what we talked about. Like, I think
it's the moment we step out of this room, I forget everything.
Absolutely.
But I think that moment there and that comment from that person was very much a thing of like, oh, this is...
Gonna be something.
Yeah. Which it has, which is really, really nice.
Yeah.
And we're about to fuck it all up and change the format.
Yeah, we're totally changing the format.
Tash and I realized that one of the reasons why we haven't done this in months is because it's quite laborious and emotionally intensive for the two of us.
It's emotionally taxing.
Yes. Which, for us to be all like, take care of yourself, and then to the thing that we're saying that in is something that isn't a huge form of self-care for us is... It makes us hypocrites.
Yeah. Like, I know a lot of the time I would find myself leaving and second-guessing a lot of stuff I said. Mm. And do I really believe that? Do I really think that? Why did I say that? And, like, a lot of that's just anxiety.
Yeah.
Generalized. But also, yeah, there's, like, the guilt of, like, oh, we should have mentioned this. And I should have, you know, I should have used my platform more responsibly.
Yeah.
And then back to... No, it's our platform and it's about my sobriety. We do whatever the fuck we want.
Yes.
But we're changing that.
Yes. I mean, on that note, we're still doing whatever the fuck we want. But we are changing it into a format where I think both of us have realized that there is a very nice community behind us who want answers to things that they may not know the answer to. And we want to be the people to find those answers.
Yes.
We want to figure out really why we are like this. And still give a healthy dose of our opinions, because that's why you listen to us. And we wouldn't do this if we couldn't be our opinionated selves, let's be honest.
Truly.
So what that will look like will mean you keeping a very keen eye on the social medias, both Why Am I Like This Pod, me, I can't even say the name, Kaelmoco, and at Calamity Tash as well. I think in my brain it probably looks like you, dear listener, being like, I have a question, I want to know about this, and emailing us at
justwhypod@gmail.com.
yep, at that email, or sliding into the DMs of the podcast.
Yes.
Not Why Am I Like This Pod, and us finding the answer, or finding someone who knows the answer, because we don't know shit.
Yeah. So we want to get a little bit more exploratory. Yeah. We want to, because as I said, I think I've really done the work on myself, and I don't feel like I actually have to share that with you guys. Sorry. but I'm going to keep that all to myself. That's my boundary that I'm putting in place. And in turn, we're going to talk more about you, and we want to hear from you. We want to hear your stories.
Yeah.
We've heard some great ones so far, and definitely email them in.
Yeah.
I want a hotline.
Ooh.
So, like, heaps of other podcasts have hotlines.
Okay.
We've got to work out how to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can buy an online phone number or something.
We can also leave voice memos.
Oh, yeah. Voice
email us voice memos.
Oh, yes. Email us voice memos of your stories, and we will play them on the pod.
Yeah.
Cool. What else do you want to cover?
I think that's it.
Mm.
Let me go for a while.
Mm.
This is nice. I've missed this.
I've missed this too. Yeah. It was lovely.
Yeah.
And this has not been so emotionally taxing.
No. Yeah. Holy shit. Like, oh my God.
I thought it was going to be really full on because it's the first episode, but it's, we're both doing good.
I mean, it's really the last episode.
Well, the first and the last.
Shithead. How do we end this? Do you have, what's your saying?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, just something motivational, like, you are more than you could ever think you are.
Mm.
And think about your life and remember all the times that you have proved that to yourself time and time and time again.
Yeah.
And you will time and time and time again.
Yeah. If you want, you could find a photo of yourself from the 2nd of August, 2019. And look at it and be like, cool, who am I now in comparison to this person?
Who is that person?
If you want to send us that photo.
Do that.
Yeah. At Why Am I Like This Pod on Instagram.
We're going to be heaps better, we promise.
Yeah.
And regular. Oh, my God. And our Patreons, like.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you.
Guys, fuck. Thank you. Real talk. Yeah.
Gross kissing.
Very appreciated. But we do have a Patreon and we will be better. So if you would like to donate, it's probably patreon.com/whyamilikethis.
It'll be in the description. Something.
You'll find it. Links are there.
Yeah. Thank you.
This has been lovely.
For sticking with us.
Yeah. All right. See you soon, guys.
Bye.
Bye.